KHNS News is your connection to relevant issues and happenings in Haines, Skagway, and Clequan. But we're more than just your local news. We also collaborate with other Southeast public radio stations to keep you informed of regional issues that affect us locally. We bring you these wider-reaching stories along with local news to help our community make connections here and beyond. We do our best to keep you informed, enlightened, and entertained. And we couldn't do it without your support. Thanks for making KHNS News your news.
We want them to go out there and have a good time sport fishing. We need the sockeye on spawning grounds and not in their coolers.
An emergency order closes Chilkoot sockeye harvest for sport fishers. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Marga Friedenauer. That story and more on the Shuttle Ferry Design Report up next. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game issued an emergency order Monday closing the Chilkoot watershed to sockeye sport fishing because of low escapements. The Chilkoot sockeye run was forecasted to be low this year, but with just over 4,000 sockeye through the Chilkoot River Weir as of July 14th, the run is turning out to be lower than expected. It is not expected to reach the lower end of the escapement goal of 38,000 fish. Brian Elliott is the assistant area sport fish biologist for Haines and Skagway.
If all things are equal, if we're tracking average run timing, it's going to end up around 22,000 in the drainage. So that's falling significantly short.
Last year was the largest run of returning sockeye to Chilkoot River and Lake since the weir counts began in 1976. Even so, it's no surprise the run is low this year, Elliott said. The year's parent run in 2008 was also below escapement goals. So far, this is the fifth lowest run on record. It's not the first time an emergency order has gone into place for Chilkoot, Elliott says, and there's still a possibility the order could be lifted if a swell of sockeye eventually arrive.
You know, that's kind of a last resort for us when we feel like we need every fish on the spawning grounds we can get. We'll go ahead and put these measures into place with the expectation that if the counts do improve and it looks like we are going to make the escapement goal, then we will rescind our restrictions in place.
The commercial drift gillnet fleet is also facing restrictions on the Chilkoot side. Commercial fish biologist Randy Bachman said the fishery is in conservation management mode right now with gear restrictions and a limited area open. Bachman said the subsistence effort is light in the Chilkoot area because of the low escapements. Instead, Fish and Game is encouraging subsistence users to fish the Chilkat side, where sockeye returns are already strong. Elliott said the projection for Chilkat Lake is well within the goal range of 70 to 150,000 fish.
Looking good, yeah. It's above average in the fish wheels and at the Chilkat Lake Weir. So it's kind of the opposite of last year when we had a robust Chilkoot run and Chilkat was below average.
But the Chilkoot side is popular for sockeye sport fishing, especially among visitors and Canadian fishermen. Elliott says the emergency order does not mean sport fishers have to quit having fun. They just can't keep any sockeye they catch.
We want them to go out there and have a good time sport fishing. We need the sockeye on the spawning grounds and not in their coolers.
The restriction remains in effect through October 15th or until the department projects the escapement goal will be met. We already reported on the release of the Day Boat Alaska Class Ferry Preliminary Design Report Monday, the one that detailed some of the specifics for the state's plans to build two shuttle ferries to be used primarily in the Upper Lynn Canal. The study determines the ferries will be slightly bigger than the LeConte, with a covered and enclosed car deck and an inside passenger capacity of 300, with room for about 50 vehicles. But here's a few more details we've gleaned from the report. The ferries may be used on other routes in Southeast and Prince William Sound, including Angoon and Tanaki Springs, Hoonah and Gustavus, and Cordova, Whittier, and Valdez. The report indicates that the Marine Highway System hopes to save money on operations by keeping down crew costs. That means limiting food service so no additional crew is needed. The vessel should be designed to provide better ship motions than on the LeConte and strive to make the shuttle ferry ride much like the Taku. The report says the design will limit ice formation and that winter spray will be significantly better than on the LeConte. The report addresses several terminal considerations. Well, the department has said the ferries will primarily run two routes, one between Juneau and Haines, and the other between Haines and Skagway. The report mentions there could eventually be other and yet to be determined terminal sites elsewhere in the Lynn Canal. Another section of the report is more specific. The point of the shuttle ferries is to limit the operations to 12 hours, meaning the ferries won't require additional crew or crew quarters. But with on and off loading, the Juneau to Haines and back trip comes in at 11 hours, 44 minutes, leaving just 16 minutes to spare in the 12-hour schedule. DOT spokesperson Jeremy Woodrow said Tuesday it's not a problem for the crew to occasionally go over the 12-hour limit if a sailing is delayed or running late, as long as it doesn't routinely happen. But the report notes time could be shaved if there was a terminal closer to Haines than Auk Bay. It mentions the Marine Highway System has identified Cascade Point, also known as Burners Bay, to Haines as a potential route. It says that route would run about 2 hours and 50 minutes. That means a potential for two round-trip sailings between Burners Bay and Haines, but it also means the DOT would have to move forward with the Juneau Access Road project. Woodrow says that paragraph about a Cascade Point to Haines route was only mentioned as a potential future option.
Right now, the department is looking at designing these vessels and the operating hours to run from Auk Bay to Haines and Skagway. But, you know, if there is a thought process of trying to reduce operation costs and running from Cascade Point, that is a possibility, and these ships would work for that.
The tight timetable for the Haines to Juneau route also means efficient turnarounds at the terminals. The boats will have bow and stern doors for faster roll-on, roll-off loading and unloading. A side door will allow docking at more terminals. But the report says unloading and offloading operations will need to be less than 15 minutes to meet proposed route schedules. It says crew members will need to sweep each of the passenger spaces to make sure passengers are ready and waiting to disembark immediately upon arrival. And it will need to be necessary to ensure that vehicles are not unaccompanied, unless special arrangements are made so that it won't affect the schedule. Unaccompanied vehicles are an important issue in the ferry discussion because companies often use unaccompanied vehicles to transport goods. The report concludes that a 9-person crew is recommended for each ferry. The report also talks about vessel motion and passenger comfort. Using a seakeeping and wave study analysis that was recently conducted, the design report uses scientific means to predict how many passengers may experience motion sickness in the roughest sailings on different size vessels. For a 280-foot vessel, as proposed, about 11% of passengers would get sick in the worst seas. If the boat was extended to 305 feet, that percentage would drop below 10. However, the study notes the cost to extend the boat would increase costs up to $3 million. The study recommends keeping the vessel at 280 feet while providing more space at midship to mitigate motion sickness among passengers in rough seas. As for a schedule of operation, the report says the Marine Highway System would run the ferries on their northern Lynn Canal route 6 days per week in the summer and 3 days in the winter. Each ferry would operate on a different route on the other days of the week when the Lynn Canal gets the weekly ferry from Bellingham. They would each be taken out of service 4 weeks of the year for maintenance. Finally, the report notes that changes would be needed at the Haines and Skagway terminals to accommodate the roll-on, roll-off concept. Upgrades are planned for both terminals, with the possibility of adding a second berth to the Haines terminal. Skagway's terminal renovations are already scheduled. The legislature appropriated $4.5 million for those upgrades in the capital budget. The renovations came up recently at the Skagway Assembly meeting, where Assemblyman Mike Korsmo, who is also a member of the Marine Transportation Safety Board, said Skagway needs to be involved early in the process of design for the terminal renovations to make sure the design includes not just what features are needed for the shuttle ferries, but also are needed to accommodate other uses.
The thing that worries me is they've come up with this new shuttle ferry design that right now doesn't include changing the ferry dock in Skagway, but in the future it does. Eventually, they want to have a stern loading berth, and in these guys' desire to have this plan in place so strongly, especially the commissioner and deputy commissioner, they might consider using that $4.5 million just to concentrate on getting their stern loading berth and not even consider the other uses that we have there.
The DOT also recently released a seakeeping and wind and wave study of Lynn Canal. Those studies were done as part of the Supplemental Environmental Impact Statement for the Juneau Access Project, but were referred to in the design report. Haines Mayor Stephanie Scott said it will take a while to study the 50-page document.
I don't want to react to it. I want to respond to it. So it's going to take me a little while to read through it and think about it. And I want to work with our local ad hoc ferry committee to find out what they think about it.
Public hearings are planned for August 20th, 21st, and 22nd in Juneau, Skagway, and Haines. For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Visit our news section online at khns.org. We're always open to your comments and story ideas, and you can reach us by emailing news@khns.org or visit our KHNS News Facebook page. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support. KHNS welcomes comments on topics important to you. If you'd like to make a commentary to air on your local community radio station, check our website at khns.org under Community for our guidelines. Each listener commentary airs twice, once in the evening and once in the morning after your local news. Everyone has an opinion, and you can make yours heard on the KHNS listener commentary.